We should never take it lightly nor for granted that every first day of the week we are able to assemble for worship. So thankful to those who have led us in our devotional services. We appreciate the singing, reading of the scripture, prayers, communion, for those men who have led us in those areas. We just thank God for you. And it's always good to see our brothers and sisters in Christ. It is an encouragement when we are able to come together. I know that we want to solicit your prayers on behalf of Brother Gibbs. He is in Houston at the Fifth Ward congregation this morning. He will be returning this evening, and we want to pray that God grant him traveling grace as he returns. And tonight, we want to make you aware of a very special celebration for a very special person, in the person of Brother Johnny Rogers, Sr. And so we want you to be here tonight to celebrate his retirement. He has given a life of service to this congregation, and we need to demonstrate how grateful we are to him and for him, and that we have been privileged to be a part of the service that he has rendered. So this evening we'll begin at 6 for evening service, and then following evening service there will be a program that you don't want to miss for him. Also, I want to commend this congregation for the very impactful way that God was able to use us on Thursday for the funeral services for Brother Botham John. This is a great church, and I was so proud to see all of our men and women who rallied together to aid our brothers and sisters from Dallas West. It was just a beautiful sight to see. And I will admit and confess to you that my mind has been troubled and perplexed behind the series of events that occurred to our brother in Christ. So the message this morning comes from thoughts that have been plaguing me. This was a tragic and historic event. And I will apologize if the tenor and tone of this message may be too political or too liberational in its nature. But I do believe that what has transpired over the last week is relevant and real for our consideration. And the Word of God is the only source I know that helps us to deal with all things that pertain to life and godliness. In 2 Samuel 18, we find a striking narrative in the life of David that presents us with a poignant and penetrating question that has pierced my thoughts. and perhaps some of yours. In 2 Samuel 18, verse number 27, the Bible says, "So the watchman said, I think the running of the first is like the running of Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok. And the king said, he is a good man and comes with good news. So Ahimaaz called out and said to the king, all is well. Then he bowed down with his face to the earth before the king and said, blessed be the Lord your God, who has delivered up the men who raised their hand against my lord the king. The king said, is the young man Absalom safe? Ahimaaz answered, when Joab sent the king's servant and me, your servant, I saw a great tumult. I did not know what it was about. And the king said, turn aside and stand here. So he turned aside and stood still. Just then the Cushite came. And the Cushite said, there is good news, my lord the king. For the Lord has avenged you this day of all those who rose against you. And the king said to the Cushite, is the young man Absalom safe? So the Cushite answered, may the enemies of my lord the king and all who rise against you to do harm be like that young man. Then the king was deeply moved, went up to the chamber over the gate and wept. And as he wept, he said thus, O my son Absalom, my son Absalom, if only I had died in your place. O Absalom, my son. Notice in the text that David, the king of Israel, is longing, waiting for word about the progress of the battle that involved his son Absalom. Two times he raises the question regarding the fate and welfare of his rebellious and reckless son. Is the young man Absalom safe? When we consider his question, it's a question that I have. But it's not about Absalom. The question is about any young man. Is the young man safe? When we consider David, we often see him as the shepherd boy, the lion tamer and bear wrestler turned giant killer. He is the ruddy youth who was overlooked by Samuel. But he was just what God was looking for to be anointed the next king over Israel. For God was able to see in his heart and saw a man that was after him. We know David as a great warrior who, in comparison to Saul's thousands, David killed his 10,000s. We also know him as the sweet psalmist of Israel who wrote, sang, and played songs that soothed the evil and cantankerous heart of Saul. Even still, we know David as a backbiting, backstabbing, two-timing adulterer and murderer. Yet with all of his successes and failures, his highs and lows, his ups and downs, his ins and outs, we sometimes forget that David was a concerned father and a parent. So concerned was he for his best friend Jonathan's son Mephibosheth that he became a surrogate father to him after Jonathan died. Even after his discretion with Bathsheba that left her pregnant with a child that the Lord told him would die, David fasted and prayed for 7 days. He lay all night on the ground hoping that God would be merciful to the child. He didn't do that as the king of Israel. He did that as a concerned father for his child. He was concerned for his son Amnon when he claimed to be sick. And he requested from his father to send Tamar to me that she might tend to me. And when he heard how Amnon had tricked and raped Tamar, the Bible records how angered and outraged this caring father was for his daughter. Not because he was a king, but because he was a concerned father. When Absalom requested his family to come to his house, David declined because he didn't want to be a burden to his son. You have to read the whole book of 2 Samuel to get all of this I'm talking about. But I want to paint you a picture now of David as a concerned father. He didn't know that Absalom had planned a crafty conspiracy to murder his brother Amnon. He probably thought Absalom was trying to make a gesture of reconciliation and not revenge. Because a father is concerned about peace in his home. But the prophet Nathan told David in 2 Samuel 12 that he would not have peace in his home. He would have a sword. Yet this concerned father would long and yearn in the depths of his soul for his son Absalom. David was a merciful father who forgave and allowed his son to return to Jerusalem after he had been running and hiding. And even when Absalom returned, he manipulated the people, using his father's authority to counsel the people. And it was said that Absalom stole the heart of the people. He caused a rebellion and an uproar against his father so that David would have to run and hide in his own kingdom from his own son. Absalom would go so far as to sleep with his father's concubines on a tent on top of a house in the sight of all Israel. With all of that disrespect and disobedience and defiance by Absalom, David still remained concerned, compassionate, forgiving, and loving as a father, so that when they went to war in 2 Samuel 18, verse 5, he told the captains of his armies, "Deal gently for my sake with the young man Absalom." And the Bible says that all the people heard it. When the king gave all the captains orders concerning Absalom, with all that the people knew and experienced at the hand of Absalom, David, the dad, still had a tender spot in his heart for Absalom. So I can hear the tenderness and concern and love in his tone when he asks the first runner, "Is the young man Absalom safe?" He received no answer. I hear him again with more intensity, but lovingly and caringly request again, "Is the young man Absalom safe?" It's the same question I believe that every parent has on their mind this morning. No matter how rebellious your child has been and how mischievous and disobedient or disrespectful they have been, we want them to be safe. When you drop them off at school, we want to see them come home just the way they left, safe. When they're driving these dangerous streets and freeways, we want them to be safe. They're playing in that football game and your mama comes down from the stands after you've been hit. She's coming down there to make sure that you are safe. No matter how old you get, how grown you think you are, number one priority of a parent is the safety of their child. We are concerned about your welfare and well-being. That's why we're blowing up your cell phone, so that we can make sure that you are safe. You want to know why we want you to be safe? There's some danger out there. There's harm in those streets. People who you think would do you good may do you harm. And we want to make sure that you are safe. Unfortunately, there are some Joabs out there who are out looking for revenge and bloodthirsty savages who care nothing about what your parents say. Or think about you. Now, I just want you to see Joab. He was there when David said, "Deal gently with my son." He heard the commandment. And I just want you to know that there are some Joabs out there who will, despite what your parents think of you. They see you and could care less about you. Your parents may worship the ground you walk on, but Joab wants to see you fall to the ground. Watch Joab here. Verse number 5, 2 Samuel 18, the king commanded Joab, Abishai, and Ittai, saying, "Deal gently for my sake with the young man Absalom." All the people heard when the king gave all the captain's orders concerning Absalom. The people went out into the field of battle against Israel, and the battle was in the woods of Ephraim. The people of Israel were overthrown there before the servants of David, and a great slaughter of 20,000 took place that day. For the battle was scattered over the face of the whole countryside, and the woods devoured more people than the sword devoured. Watch now. Then Absalom met the servants of David. Absalom rode on a mule. The mule went under the thick boughs of a great terebinth tree or oak tree, and his head was caught in the terebinth, so he was left hanging between heaven and earth. And the mule which was under him went on. Now I want you to see Absalom is in the fight. And if you recall, he was known as one of the beautiful people of Israel. He would have a time where he cut his hair and it weighed his hair. It was so long, nearly 200 shekels in weight. This long-haired brother riding on his mule in battle discovered that having long hair ain't always a benefit and a blessing, because this time he got hung up in a tree by his hair. And I can see him there hanging between heaven and earth, wondering, will somebody get him down? There was a certain man, the Bible says, that saw him hanging in that tree. And he told Joab, I saw Absalom hanging in a terebinth tree. So Joab said to the man who told him, you just saw him? Why did you not strike him there to the ground? I would have given you 10 shekels of silver and a belt. The man said to Joab, though I were to receive 1,000 shekels of silver in my hand, I would not raise my hand against the king's son. For in our hearing, in other words, we know exactly what David said. In our hearing, the king commanded you and Abishai and Ittai, saying, behold, beware lest anyone touch the young man Absalom. Otherwise, I would have dealt falsely against my own life. In other words, I would have put my own life in jeopardy touching this man. Then he said, for there is nothing hidden from the king. And you yourself, Joab just happened to be the cousin of David, would have set yourself against me. In other words, if I had done it, you would have told the king on me. Then Joab said, I cannot linger with you. In other words, I don't have time for this. He took 3 spears in his hand and thrust them through Absalom's heart while he was still alive in the midst of the terebinth tree. 10 young men who bore Joab's armor surrounded Absalom and struck him and killed him. So Joab blew the trumpet. The people returned from pursuing Israel, for Joab held back the people. I told you that there are some Joabs out there. Joab didn't see Absalom as David saw Absalom. David saw that his child was lost, but Joab saw an enemy of the king and of the kingdom. He probably thought about the day that Absalom came to his fields and burned them up. So Joab didn't mind killing him. And it's unfortunate that some people don't see what your parents see when they see you. Your parents see potential and possibilities. Someone else sees color, a stereotype, a prejudice. Because we know that everyone does not see you as we see you, we get concerned about your safety. Then there are those like Ahimaaz who think they are helping, but in actuality may be hurting. Ahimaaz, the Bible said, the son of Zadok in verse 19, let me now run and take the news to the king how the Lord has avenged him of his enemies. And Joab said to him, you shall not take the news this day, for you shall take the news another day. But today you shall take no news. Why? Because the king's son is dead. Sometimes the messenger, sometimes was harmed because of the message. And so Joab said, Ahimaaz, don't you take a message today, because the king's son is dead. Then Joab said to the Cushite, go tell the king what you have seen. So the Cushite bowed himself to Joab and ran. In other words, Ahimaaz, you don't need to bring this message. Some people do more harm than good with their messages. Somebody has wisely said that tact is the knack of making a point without making an enemy. So Joab commissioned an unnamed Cushite to tell David about Absalom. But the Bible says that Ahimaaz was insistent on running to bring the king news. And Joab allowed him. He was so excited to bring the news that the Bible says that he outran the Cushite. And when he got to David, he was ready to tell the good news, but he wasn't ready to answer David's question. He told him, we've been successful in the battle. But David said, is the young man Absalom safe? Ahimaaz didn't have an answer. So he made up something. And I'm trying to tell you, when he got to David, he didn't have a good answer. Now, I've read a lot of posts this week about this tragic event that has shaken our brotherhood to its core. And I'm afraid it's going to take those who are not as close to the situation like the Cushite to help us with an answer. See, until we are all involved, black and white, in the cause of these injustices, we will not see the progress we want to see. There was a brother, a white brother in the church who wrote a post about the situation and received more shares, 45,000, than the Ahimaaz, those of us. And I'm trying to tell you, until those on the other side of town get with us on this side of town, the message may not get out and may not be as clear as it needs to be. I'm going to tell you something. Thursday was the first time in my life I had ever seen as many black and whites come together in a unified effort in the Church of Christ than I've ever seen before. and it was beautiful. And I believe that the powers that be will listen when they see the Cushites and Ahimaaz come together, when the church is the church. Is the young man safe? I'm sorry to tell you, we're looking for safety in this life. You're never going to find it. Top three causes of death for black men, ages 15 to 34 in America, are homicide, accidents, and suicide. We encounter homicide 10 times more than our white counterparts. I'm sorry to tell you, my young brothers, mothers, and fathers, that it does not look like one will find safety in this world. Even if you are a member of the Church of Christ, our communities aren't getting better. Getting worse. If you think by exercising your First Amendment rights and your Second Amendment rights, you're going to be safe, I'm sorry to tell you that is not going to happen, my brother. If you're looking for safety through your high-tech Ring doorbell system, you're looking for safety in the wrong place. You think just because you live in a gated community, in an exclusive neighborhood, that you are safe. I'm sorry, my sister. I'm sorry, my brother. There is no safety in this life. Got a boy, got children. Only sure and certain safety is in a relationship with God and His Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. I hear the psalmist saying, as the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord is round about His people from henceforth, even forever. Somebody may say, I can see the mountain, but I don't see the Lord, but I'm just going to trust His word and His promise. And as long as God has a people, God's people have a promise. And He said, as long as you are my people, I'll be round about you. You want safety, you better get in God. Jesus said in John 10, 27 through 29, my sheep hear my voice. I know them. They follow me. And I give unto them eternal life. They shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave me is greater than all. My Father which gave them me is greater than all. He is greater than the president, greater than the governor, greater than the police chief. He is greater than them all. That tells me Jesus is a shepherd with a fold, and those that are in that fold are His sheep. And following that shepherd guarantees me eternal life. No constitutional amendment is going to give me eternal life. Not only that, but no man can take me out of His hand. And if I'm in Jesus' hand, I'm in God's hand. Little girl recited this verse to let people know she didn't have to worry about anything because God has her in her hand. Somebody asked her, what if you slipped through his fingers? She said she didn't have to worry about that either because she was God's finger. She remembered Ephesians 5 and verse number 34. We are members of his body, of his flesh and of his bones. She knew she had security because she is a very member of his body. We need to know that as members of his body and of his flesh and of his bones, that God has us in his hands. And as long as we're in God's hands, we don't have to fear any man. You want to give safety to your children? It's going to require more than a talk about the police. It's going to require more. It's going to require more than telling them how to defend themselves. And if somebody hits you, hit them back. It's going to require that they have a relationship with God. I know I started asking you, is the young man safe? But I think I need to ask us all, are we safe? Are you safe? You live in a world that one day to the next, you don't know what's going to happen.
Amen.
They shoot up churches, my brother.
They do.
I don't care how many officers you got back there. The only safety I know is in Jesus Christ.
What a son.
If you want to give your child something, give them a knowledge of God that says, no matter what, God has your back. When I can't be there, God says, I'll be with you. I'll never leave nor forsake you. You want to be safe? You better make sure your life is in the hands of Almighty God. I don't know what happened. Got a boy in Arkansas. I can't be there every day. But I'm hoping that that boy will take what we've taught him about God and let him know that wherever he is, he has a God that he can call on. No matter what the problem and situation that may come into his life. Are you safe? Are you safe? You have God ruling and reigning over your life. When you are in his hand, can't no man undo what God has destined for his people. He has given us eternal life. That's the only thing that's going to matter when this life is over. I don't know when it will be, but I want to make sure that I'm safe.
Amen.
If you're not in the Lord's body, you're not part of the Lord's family, you're not of his flesh and of his bones, of his body, you don't have the assurance
Amen.
Of the safety that Amen. You need. All I'm saying to us, get safe this morning. You're not a child of God. You need to be a part of his people. And everybody who says they are his people
Amen.
Are not his people.
Amen. Amen.
Jesus said that. He said there are going to be many who are going to say, Lord,
Amen.
Lord.
He said, but all of those who saying, Lord, Lord, are not doing the will of my Father. Those who are his people do his will. His will is found in his word. And whatever his word says, that's what we got to do. That's why he would continue on in Matthew 7 and say, those who hear the sayings of mine, I liken him to a wise man. Built his house upon a rock, and when the rains came and the winds blew and the floods beat upon that house, it stood because it was founded upon the rock. You need to stand on the rock of God's word. When people ask you, are you saved? Yes, because I know I've done what God's word instructed me to do. God's word, God's will says that you need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. God's word says, God's will is that you repent of your sins, Luke 13, 3 and 5. God's will is that you will confess with your mouth that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, Matthew 10, 32. And God's will is that you be baptized before the remission of sin. You receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. He says, if thou be faithful unto death, I will give you a crown of life. That's a promise straight from the mouth of God. If you're here, you're not a child of God, we want you to become one, because that's the only safe way. I know. If you're a child of God, but you haven't been living like one, get back in to the will of God by obeying the word of God. You're here, you stand subject to the invitation. Will you come right now, just now, as we stand, as we sing the song of invitation?
Just as I am.